Hey guys, this is Lisa
and Rebecca,
and we are here on The Secret Life of Weddings.
If you like drama, you're in the right place,
where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories. So get ready for the drama on The Secret Life of Weddings. Hey Squeams, it is Lisa
and Rebecca
here on The Secret Life of Weddings podcast. Welcome to episode 125. Okay, let's jump into In the News this week.
All right, it's a good one, Lisa. According to boingboing.net, a couple got engaged at Walmart hours after armed robbery. In North Carolina, a love-struck convenience store clerk and her fiancé now have matching criminal charges. Investigators said the robbery took place after 10 p.m. Monday night when a man with a hat, bandana, and some sort of ornamental sword walked into the store. Right? I know, right?
Who wouldn't marry that guy?
Yeah. Walked into the store and demanded money from the clerk. He walked out of the store with $2,960, according to a release from MDPS. Carswell allowed officers to search her cell phone. Carswell is the clerk of the store, resulting in them finding videos of her and Moore, the accused, getting engaged at Walmart early Tuesday morning after the robbery, the release said. Receipts seized during the execution of a search warrant.
I was like, wait. They executed them? I thought they legit like cut their heads off for that. And I thought, you know, I was believing that, you know, the U.S. was in trouble and everything, but I didn't think they were executing people in Walmarts. Holy.
Oh, my gosh. When police executed a search warrant at Moore's vehicle, they found money from the store and a handwritten list of materials needed to conduct the robbery. At Moore's and Carswell's house, police found the weapon and clothing worn by Moore during the robbery, the release said. She still claims that she's innocent and had nothing to do with the robbery.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was like, really? You know, at least if you're going to rob a place, you might want to get rid of all the evidence.
I can't believe the sword. What is that?
There's photos too, and he's got the sword in his hand. I'm like, really? Yeah.
I know exactly what kind of guy that is too.
Do you?
Oh yeah. They're not cool. They're the type that have those big samurai swords up on the wall.
Yes.
Like
yes.
On display. And it's like, no. That's his first girlfriend for sure.
They went and bought their engagement rings at Walmart and got engaged.
Congratulations.
Yeah, not shaming Walmart rings. I'm just saying.
Just saying. Well, they're all in. Let's just put it that way. This week of the Fuck It Bucket / Advice Corner, we want to throw wedding dress remorse in the Fuck It Bucket.
Yes. You know, as I said to you, I've seen so much of this now. It's kind of crazy.
It's an epidemic.
Yes. Everyone... And their posts in wedding groups about buyer's remorse. And they found another dress they love so much. Why the fuck are y'all looking at other dresses? I want to know.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You have spent a ton of money and time and emotion attaching and bonding with this one dress. I get it. I do. I did it myself. It is an easy trap to fall into. But don't. Do it. This is our advice, our warning to you guys.
Yes, because otherwise you're going to find yourself with two dresses and one you're going to have to rush and sell.
Yep. Or changing and it's just silly a little bit, I think. But
you know,
listen.
What? Yeah. I mean,
you can, if you have the money, if you have all the money in the world, go nuts.
Yeah, fuck. Buy five.
I don't care. The point is, most of us don't have endless money to drop on two dresses. So
yeah.
Our advice to you would be stop looking after you found the dress and put those energies into something else for your wedding.
Yeah. Stop setting yourself up for failure here.
Yeah.
Really. Delete all the photos. Mm-hmm. On your phone and anybody else's phone of you in any other dress. Get rid of it.
Yep. Stop comparing because it's something that you have doubts. And this is our reassurance to you. It's normal to feel doubts about your dress after you buy it. I had it. I even to this day, I sit here sometimes going, oh, did I pick the right dress? My point is, it's never, if you think it's perfect, you're lucky, because a lot of people don't have that perfection on every little part of their day. And address is very, very subjective for women. It has to do with how we see ourselves, which is already completely fucked up at times.
Yep.
We are, you know, very self-conscious about our bodies, how we look and things. It's just a whole other layer deeper, and you just don't need to complicate it further by looking at other options.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are we cool?
I'm okay with the whole sharing yourself in different dresses to try and pick one. I get that. That's cool.
Yeah. Before you buy one.
Yes.
Not after.
Not after. Stop looking. Stop it.
Yep.
You don't need it.
It's like when you find your partner. Stop.
Are you still going out and looking?
Yeah. Stop. When you find your partner and you're going to be like married, typical relationship, not talking about poly here, typical relationship that's, you know, whatever, you get off Tinder. Am I right, people?
Yes. You don't, you know, wait a few months and then log back in just to see.
Just to see what's out there.
No.
Stop disrespecting your wedding dress, okay?
Exactly. Respect your choice. Respect the dress.
Yes.
Let all the others go. Just yes. Stop, you guys. And know you look amazing in the one you bought and you loved it. You buy it so far in advance too, Lisa, right? That you kind of, like anything else, it's like a pair of shoes, right? Oh, I liked them 6 months ago, but now, I don't know.
You know, it's human. It's human. And listen, if you need some reassurance or just people telling you you look fucking amazing, come to our Facebook group and we will tell you you look hot. Mm-hmm. It's Fans of Secret Life of Weddings on Facebook. We are a very cool bunch of people. We're not dicks. We will tell you nice things about yourself. So post your photo and we'll share each other's photos of us in our wedding dresses. It'll be fun.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good time. Quick, think of the next time you have to get on an airplane because you need an excuse to buy this suitcase now. Away makes the coolest suitcase on the market. Away knows that everyone has a different travel style. That's why they make their carry-on in an array of colors, two sizes, and two materials. A strong yet flexible polycarbonate and an anodized aluminum. I got the carry-on.
There is a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. Take it out on the road and live with it. Travel with it. Get lost with it. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund.
The moment I picked up the suitcase they sent me, I was just absolutely blown away by how lightweight it is, yet strong. I'm not a big person, so the fact that I could actually have a suitcase that's not super heavy to carry on and off airplanes is a huge deal. It moves around so effortlessly, and I think, honestly, my favorite part, the fact that I could charge my phone with it. Also, the color, it's pink. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/secretlife and use promo code secretlife during checkout. Visit awaytravel.com/secretlife and use promo code secretlife during checkout. Okay, our first story up this week is a little something special. We have a story from a fellow photographer, a fellow wedding photographer named Carrie. Thank you so much, Carrie, for sending in your story. She actually recorded it in a voice app for us on her phone. I love it, love it, love it. If you guys want to do that, we actually think that's fabulous. Send it to us. Record your story, send it to us, or write it out. secretlifeofweddings@gmail.com. And now for Carrie's story.
Hey ladies, Carrie Porter Bond here, fan in the Facebook group and listener, and I love your show. And when I heard the story that my bride just told me today, I said I have to submit this. So I don't know if you can take an audio submission, but I'm recording this while it's fresh on my mind. So I'm a wedding photographer in Key West, Florida. We do a lot of destination weddings. We have couples that come down and, you know, maybe just have the two of them or a really small group and don't really do a lot of the traditional wedding hoopla, no limo or, you know, transportation or anything like that. They just sort of hop in an Uber and go downtown after their ceremony. And such was the case with my bride today. I photographed their wedding a couple of days ago and they've been in town. And so I offered her a complimentary in-studio shoot. I love to do women's portraits. So when I do have a bride who's going to be in town for a couple of days, I will give that to her as a gift. And so my bride comes in and, you know, we're kind of, getting going. And, you know, and I always tell them, you know, bring whatever outfits you'd like to bring. If you want to bring your wedding dress, you're more than welcome to, but you know, this is really just a fun shoot for you. So you don't have to, but it's totally up to you. So anyway, so she gets to the shoot and we're kind of going through wardrobe and the topic of the wedding dress comes up. And that's when she tells me what happened after I left. And so it all kind of started. She has one of those wedding dresses that has a really long ribbon that laces up the back. It's kind of one of those really super fitted corset style bodices on the top of the dress. And then, you know, the bottom flows out from there and the back of it laces up, as you are probably familiar. And then it has like the big long ribbon that typically you will tuck in. So anyway, so I'm there, I'm doing getting ready photos. She's getting laced up and we're kind of cracking jokes about, you know, can she breathe? And, you know, if she can't, then it's perfect. And one of the bridesmaids, you know, is laughing like, oh, the groom is going to have to get scissors to get you out of this thing because it's so tight. And, you know, there's just a lot back and forth with the lacing. It's just really kind of complicated assembly. But we get the dress on her, forget about it, go on about the wedding. Ceremony goes off without a hitch. We do some photos afterwards and then I leave. My coverage was over, so I leave. And so now she's telling me the story of what happened after I left. And apparently, as the evening had gone on, the laces had started to kind of get a little bit looser. And so she was like, you know, the corset was kind of separating from her body. It was kind of giving little gaps here and there. So they said, well, we want to go downtown, and they wanted to wear their wedding attire and sort of do a newlywed Duval crawl. Duval Street is kind of our really famous kind of party street. And so they were going to go downtown in their wedding attire. And so she's like, well, I don't want to go downtown with it loose like this. So let me get it relaced back up. So she gets one of her bridesmaids to help her. And the bridesmaid is, you know, lacing her up and kind of tightening it up and everything. Well, in the meantime, the groom has requested the Uber. And it's now only a couple of minutes away. So they start to rush and she just kind of does it really fast and either doesn't really tie it off really well or whatever, and then doesn't bother to tuck the straps in to the inside of the dress. Like normally you have the long ribbon, kind of the ends of it, and then you tuck it down so that it's like nice and tidy. Well, she had left it out. And these ribbons are really, really long, and they were really, I'm calling them ribbons, but they were really like thick, kind of straps almost, you would say, like a ribbon covered strap. It's hard to describe, but they're really thick and really strong. So they get in the Uber and off they go. And all of a sudden, the bride gets jerked very forcefully off of her seat and like flies into the inside of the door, like against the door as they're driving. And so she's kind of shocked and, you know, not sure what to think and kind of starts to try to get up and realizes that she A, can't move, and B, she feels her dress like slowly tightening around her. And so she's like reaching to her party for help and they realize that she is, you know, in distress and they're trying to get her and she's stuck to the door. And in the meantime, her rib cage, she said she could feel the dress like compressing around her rib cage and it's squeezing her and squeezing her. And her husband is trying to get her up. They don't, you know, of course, in the moment, they don't exactly realize what has happened. And so she's being squeezed and squeezed. She said she could almost barely breathe. Every time she breathed out, it was almost like a boa constrictor, like constricting her air. And it starts to like squeeze into her belly. And she's like, it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And so they're yelling to the driver to stop. And they're all trying to get her. And now they've realized that her straps, her ribbons for her dress were left outside of the car or of the van that they're in. and she somehow it's caught around something. Of course, they don't realize this in the moment, but for whatever reason, she is stuck and is like being basically crushed to death by her wedding dress. She's like, I could barely breathe. My rib cage is like closing in around my organs. And because there was like a significant kind of gap, you know, there was like a little bit of space between so that you could see the back and forth of the laces. That was how it was designed. So you've got an easy, probably 4 to 6 inches of space, you know, from the bottom, you kind of gradually going up toward the top in like a V shape. You had a lot of leeway. And now at this point, the sides of the corset are laced completely closed. Like there is no space between them. And I'm just like, she's telling me the story and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it was tight when it was on you and it had that 4 to 6 inch gap. I cannot imagine, like we had trouble just getting it tight with that. So I could not imagine another 4 to 6 inches being squeezed together where the two edges were literally touching. So they are yelling to the driver. He apparently comes around a corner and they hear a snap. And she said for a split second, she goes, oh my gosh, I've just broken one of my ribs. And so they stop. Thankfully, that was not the case. But now the corset is so tight, she can barely catch her breath. They open the door. They realize the carnage and the ribbon is like wrapped around the tire or the axle. And they are trying to get it undone. It did break one of the straps, but not the other. So they cut the other strap. But now the thing is so tight that they can't get it off of her. So going back to the getting ready, they get her into back into the space or hotel. I'm not even sure where they ended up, but they get some scissors and they literally had to cut her out of the dress. Like they could not unravel the ribbon. It was so shredded and so gnarled up that there was no way that they were getting it off. And of course, in the meantime, she's being squeezed to death by this dress. So yeah, they literally had to get the scissors and free her from her own wedding dress. And we laughed about it. Now, obviously, she said in the moment, it was very scary, but we were joking. And she said, you know, near death experience by wedding dress strangulation almost. But oh my gosh. So needless to say, she did not end up going downtown in her wedding dress and ended up changing. But I think any bride who is maybe considering a lace-up corset-style dress, if you are going to go in a vehicle, please tuck in the ribbons. So anyway, I had to share that story. I thought that was the craziest thing that has happened to one of my brides in a long time, and I thought you might enjoy. So have fun with that. Thanks so much for the show. And I'll see you soon.
Holy shit. That is insanity.
That's nuts.
Oh my God.
I don't know what I would do.
Scream a lot.
I mean, if I was the person, like if I was the bride, I'd be like, oh my God, rip this open. Someone rip it open.
Oh yeah.
Because I can't stand being, I get claustrophobic as it is. Can you imagine being claustrophobic in your, and having your ribs crushed?
Oh, God, yeah.
God.
Imagine if you had fake boobs. Like, what if it was on the boobs, too? Like, it was one of those corsets and it squeezed.
You'd bust a boob.
Well, that's, I would be afraid of a leak, honestly. I'd be like, is it gonna, like, jello gonna pop out?
Yeah.
Like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Note to all bridesmaids, tuck those strings in.
Always.
And make them short. Even if that means cutting them, they don't, they're way too long as it is. It's ridiculous how long they make these things.
Do you know a similar thing? It's like similar, but not similar at all. happened to me, actually. I was in the parking lot of my kid's school and I go to pull out and I was like driving and the car, like it wouldn't go forward. And I was like, what is going on? So I got out. And the strap from my kid's car seat had gotten caught in the wheel. underneath and was like, I was trying to drive on it and the car wouldn't pull forward because it was pulling against the seat and side outside. It was the same thing almost. And so I had to get out.
Oh, my God.
Pull it out. I think I had a guy help me because it was I had to like back up with pulling it at the same time or something. It was messed up.
Oh, God.
It was so messed up. But yeah, so we're glad the bride is OK. I hope everything is, you know, nothing did break. And all is well. But guys, just watch those strings. That's all we're saying.
Oh, my gosh. Or as Carrie said, note to self, always tuck.
Always tuck.
Tuck that shit in.
I saw that at the end of the story because it's an audio story. So I didn't hear it before. And I was like, is this a story about drag queens? Always tuck. Best advice ever.
Oh, my gosh. OK, our next story is coming from a listener. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've been holding back on sharing these stories because I've been afraid that the people involved would know it's me. But fuck it, bucket.
Yeah, good for you.
My alias is Smokey McSmokerson, which doesn't matter because I don't use names in the story, but I wanted dibs in case I ever send more stories to you.
Oh, I love it. Yes. I like it. It's their deep throat.
Yes.
This is good.
Strip club freakout. A couple years ago, I was a bridesmaid in a wedding. We had set the bachelorette party for Florida and all made our way down for what was supposed to be a great weekend. The night started off well. We got pretty drunk, ate great food, and decided to go to a strip club with female strippers because we all admire their talent. Mm. I love that.
Yep.
We get there and everything is going so well. The bride is having a great time, but very soon after arrival and about 4 to 5 shots deep, she is hammered. She's dancing with the strippers, dancing with other men, which we at first tried to stop her from doing this, but eventually realized we weren't going to win a fight, so we let it go. When a drunk woman wants to grind on someone, there is no stopping her, apparently. Wow. Okay. Then shit.
Yeah, I think that's the universal law of grindage. It's just if a drunk woman wants to grind, she's going to do it.
She's going to grind.
Yeah.
Then shit hit the fan. The soon to be bride realized her $12,000 custom engagement ring was no longer on her finger. I've never seen someone sober up so fast.
Oh, no.
All the bridesmaids tried to stay calm for her, but the wedding was 2 weeks away, so it was hard to not panic. We all stopped what we were doing to try to find the ring. We looked all over. I can't imagine how crazy we all looked, literally holding our phone flashlights up in a dark club with people everywhere trying to find this damn ring.
Oh, no.
After about an hour of searching and still no ring, we called to make a police report. Once we had that situated, the night was obviously over. The mood was killed. On the very sad and quiet way home, bride-to-be called her future hubby to tell him the bad news. He was obviously not happy because the ring wasn't even paid off yet. Ouch.
Oh, that's
yikes.
Oh, no.
We spent the next morning going through Instagram videos to try to figure out at what point of the night she lost the ring. That's smart.
Sure. Yeah.
We went back and forth. You had it in this video at 11:39, but not in this one at 12:14, which was all pretty useless now that I look back because, mind you, we were in a strip club. So needless to say, she never got her ring back. We all think there was a stripper who got really lucky that night. On the day of the wedding, the bride had on a fake engagement ring. She never did get another real one, which it turns out didn't even matter. They are now divorced because they both ended up cheating on each other within a couple months of being married. The marriage lasted just barely 1 year. I have so many more stories about this wedding, but also some about my own since I got engaged this past September and am already having shit shows occur right before my eyes. Well, then you need to send those into us.
Yes, you do. Oh, my God. I was going to be like, OK, let's make a miracle happen. Let's share this. And, you know, hopefully the stripper who found it will have like a stripper with a heart of gold and she'll, you know, send it to us and we'll reunite them with their ring. And y'all are like, nah, they cheated and boned other people and now they're divorced. And I was crushed. So
do you know what this would be a good time for? Moissanite.
Oh, yes. Let's insert a Charles and Colvard ad right here.
Or just go to Charles and Colvard, yep. Guys, because really, I mean, $12,000.
See?
You wouldn't have lost $12,000.
Do you see?
Yeah.
Promo code Secret Life. Just saying. Just saying. But seriously, that story is amazing. Please send us your other ones. We would love to have them. SecretLifeOfWeddings@gmail.com. We want to say thank you to our Patreon members this week. Our newbies are Rianne. I hope I'm saying that right. It's R-I-A-N. Is that Rianne? Ryan? Rianne?
Ryan.
Is it Ryan?
R-I-A-N?
Yeah.
Ryan. No?
Okay. You can.
Oh, they'll tell us.
We're doing pretty good, though. Janie S., Sarah W., and Mariana P. They went to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to get additional episodes. First 10 episodes are free, guys. So when you're done binging, head straight on over.
Yay. Thanks.
Thanks for your support. People like you make this show possible. So we want you to go and sign up for Patreon. The latest Patreon episode is all about crazy things people have witnessed at weddings. So the groom, after nearly passing out several times during the ceremony, pecked the bride on the cheek and took off running down the aisle into the reception tent where he puked from one end to the other. While running, ew. We all sat quietly, stunned as the bride began sobbing. Her dad jumped up and walked her back down the aisle. So there's a little taster from our upcoming Patreon episode. So again, to hear more from that episode, check it out. Patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings. Our next story. Hey, ladies, I wanted to ask you a question regarding engagement rings. Well, really about my engagement ring. First, let me tell you a little bit about the family I'm marrying into. They are wonderful people. I'm truly lucky to have been accepted and welcomed into such a loving, giving, and fun family. My family is the opposite and most don't like me. So I never felt like I had much of a family growing up. Aww. A lot of family members felt my mom was underneath or unacceptable to marry into my father's family and hated her for her class, whatever the fuck that means. They married in the 80s. My dad's family is not rich. They are not well-known individuals. They are just assholes that think they are superior to people when really they aren't. They sound like really great people.
I love them. Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving must be awesome.
Right?
Yeah. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners.
Yes!
Woohoo! I am jealous of your turkey right now. The ones that hated my mother the most were my dad's parents. And because I'm my mother's daughter, also half my dad's, but apparently that doesn't mean shit all, they really hate me. And I have grown up without knowing what it was like to have grandparents. My mom's an orphan. I love my fiance's grandmother. I called her Nana, had hung out with her, and talked to her on the phone often. We had a great relationship. The first year she gave me a card that she signed off as Nana to me, I cried. Turns out that Nana collected and sold jewelry on the side. Wow, Nana's a hustler.
Yeah.
And told my fiance she had the perfect ring for me and showed us the ring. It was beautiful, more than I could have ever dreamed of for a ring. And it was like she had read my mind in every way. The ring was perfect for me and made me so excited to wear it. They discussed a payment plan and we left it at that. A few months later, Nana was diagnosed with cancer. Aw, Nana. And we forgot all about the ring and engagement plans. We had a wonderful few months with Nana before she died. She was a truly loving person. After the funeral, the family started talking about the will and her jewelry business. We asked what would be happening since we had a verbal agreement with Nana, and my mother-in-law told me that Nana had specified in her will that any jewelry marked and put aside on layaway for her grandchildren could consider their debts done and take what they had on hold without any more payments. This is where the story gets confusing, because after that, she told us she had saved our ring from Nana's estate, but had to take a cut from her inheritance to get it. So we would have to pay her $2,500 to get it from my mother-in-law. I'm not a jewelry person at all, and the only real reason I love the ring is because it was Nana's and that she had bought it for my fiance to propose to me. My mother thinks it's dirty-handed on my mother-in-law to do this and thinks I should just let it go and not make payments as we are paying for the wedding ourselves and saving for infertility treatments for after the wedding. Aww. My mother-in-law states that she thinks every man should buy the engagement ring, even if it is a family ring. What would you do in this situation? Currently, I'm making small payments of what I can send her, $100 to $200 per month, and I told her I can make a bigger payment after the wedding vendors are paid. But she seems to have different stories about why we must pay for the ring and says she's giving it to us at a discount as the ring could see $5,000 to $6,000. Am I being a bridezilla or a brat, or do you sense something fishy about her stories too?
Your mother-in-law is taking you for a ride.
Yeah, I kind of think.
Sorry.
I think maybe you should walk away.
I think
it's hard.
Okay, I'm just going to be frank here.
Please.
I think it's gross that she's even charging you. Sorry. I do.
Totally.
I think
gross.
That's bullshit. Nana said that the debts were done. Like,
I don't think her excuse makes any sense.
No.
The whole, I have to pay part of my inheritance to take this thing that was our family's anyway. How does that?
Yeah. No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I think she's trying to get money out of you, which is really gross considering you're paying for your own wedding. Like, I just don't. I mean, if she was paying for your wedding, okay, I could see, you know, okay, well, you guys got to pay for something. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
And as for your mother-in-law thinking every man needs to pay for an engagement ring, even if it's a family ring. No.
That's stupid.
No.
That's so stupid.
That's dumb. I'm sorry, but I know you love them and all, but that's, I'm curious what your fiance is saying, because I think this is kind of brutal.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Rebecca. I think she's screwing around with them. And I think when someone screws with you like that, it's best just to walk away. I understand totally why you want the ring, and that totally sucks that she's holding it hostage. But I don't know if there's anything more you can do. I don't know if it's worth the money for you at this point.
Yeah.
If it's not something you can afford. Like, if you have your heart set on it, if this means so much to you that you would pay the money in an instant, if you would take other things away from your wedding day to have this ring forever on your finger, fucking do it, in my opinion.
Like,
you have to ask yourself, how much is it going to crush me if in 10 years I look at my finger and I'm still thinking about that ring?
Yeah, but don't you think it warrants her fiance having a conversation with his mother?
God, yes. Do all
like,
that first.
That should have been, that's first. The first thing that should have happened is him talking to his mom, be like, well, hold on a second here. You know what I mean?
Get exactly what's going on written down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this almost needs to be a contract at this point with mom, because I don't trust the shifting story. So my point is, though, Rebecca, if you can't, you know, get him to talk to her or work it out, or for whatever reason, how much of yourself is it going to destroy going through this process with her? So don't let it ruin your wedding. Don't let it ruin yourself. And if the ring doesn't mean that much to you that it's going to bother you in 10 years, maybe consider letting it go. If it does mean that much to you, fight.
Also, how much have you paid already? Like,
well, that's too, that as well. Like, I want to make sure
there's
that
a
you
lot
have
of factors here.
Okay. If there's anything I've learned in my real estate course, it's when to consult a third party professional. And I don't think we count. So you may want to ask a lawyer friend.
But we are total professionals.
We're third party wedding professionals.
We say your chain is getting yanked.
Yes. That's what we think. Keep us posted. Let us know how it turns out, though, because we would love to know. And we hope it does work out for you.
I hope
though,
she turns the other cheek and says, just take it.
Just take the damn thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be
hopefully she grows
ideal.
Up a little bit and does what's good for her son. And her future daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Thank you for sending your question in. Okay, guys, today I need to talk to you about Caseta by Lutron. It's smart lighting control brought to you by Lutron, pioneers in smart home technology. A lot of people think you need smart bulbs to get smart lighting, but there is a smarter way. Caseta's smart dimmers and switches replace the switch in your wall, making all of the light switch controls act smart.
Think about all the places in your home where a switch controls more than one bulb, ceiling lights, chandeliers, bathroom vanities, and more. Save money by replacing the switches instead of replacing all of those bulbs.
Smart bulbs give you the ability to control your lights with an app or voice assistant, but they sacrifice control from the wall switch. Caseta gives you the best of both worlds, smart lighting control from an app or your voice, and control at the switch that anyone can use. Sometimes I just want to push the damn button. The best part of my Lutron Caseta switch is the fact that I don't have to get my lazy ass off the couch to turn on the lamp in the corner.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
So get smart lighting the smart way with Caseta by Lutron smart switches. Learn more about Caseta at lutron.com/secretlife. That's lutron.com/secretlife.
All right. And because infidelity is such a massive topic everywhere... Mm-hmm. The groom had his side chick bring his shoes to the church after he claimed he was only in the wedding as the best man. She ended up lingering around until it was time for the procession. When he took the bride's hand, the side chick went off and the bride started hitting him in his face and he hit her back hard.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
She's like, no, you didn't.
Wow.
No, you didn't.
Let me tell you, if he's hitting you, you might want to.
Yeah.
Run away.
I would just take my shoes off the bride and hopefully the side chick and beat the crap out of him in the middle of the aisle.
Right. I'd stick the heel through his eye.
Oh, yeah.
I really wouldn't do that.
That was very violent. Like, really violent. Even for you.
Was that too far? Is that too far?
No, I liked it. It was good. We have an explicit rating. We can say what we want.
That,
it's fine.
That went dark fast.
It was good. Yeah. I'm just going to put a trigger warning for violence on this episode. That's good. An HS warning. Heel stabbings. Well, thank you for that little nugget, Rebecca. That was
great. You're welcome.
I'm going to be dreaming about that tonight. Hey, ladies, first of all, I have to say thank you for making the podcast I've always wanted to make. You're welcome. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and funny enough, I think I heard about you on Canadian True Crime. That is our girl,
Christy.
Christy, we love her. She is the best. Go listen to Canadian True Crime if you haven't, and you want a break from all this laughter and you want some murder.
Yeah.
You like the murders as much as we do. Go check out Canadian True Crime. That was a couple of days ago, and now I'm on episode 9. I'm an event coordinator, and I've seen some crazy shit in my 20 years of working in hospitality and banquets. I still love to hear your stories, and every episode reminds me of yet another crazy story I want to share with you. See, it's opening the vault.
Yes.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
But I was really prompted to share my answer to your question about the best man / officiant. Oh, we're reaching back here.
Yeah, like, way back.
Yeah, that proposed to his pregnant girlfriend during the couple's ceremony. That is not okay. And they proceeded to make the reception about them too. Face palming so hard, I need Tylenol. Yikes. I had a wedding about 10 years ago, so my memory isn't perfect, but I believe either the mother of the bride was proposed to by her boyfriend or the father of the bride proposed to his girlfriend during the reception. Eek. Granted, the ceremony was over and we were at least 2 hours into the reception because the formalities and dinner were over and it was just dancing or drinking time. But even then, not okay. Ugh. Anyway, keep up the good work and I'll probably be sending you more stories soon about the wedding I worked where James Vanderbeek was in attendance, when the bride showed up 3 hours late to a forced marriage, when the father of the bride had a heart attack on the dance floor, and my personal worst, the time I got snowed into my venue and had the worst 26 hours of my life. The wedding that broke me. Oh my God, I want that story.
Right?
Lots of love. Wouldn't it be great if all that happened at one wedding?
Fabulous. Yeah.
Like James Vanderbeek was there. There was a snowstorm.
Yeah.
There was a heart attack. Well, that wouldn't be good, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lots of love and respect to you. And I can't wait to binge more of your podcast. Sincerely, Victoria. Thank you, Victoria.
You know what I would love?
What?
I would love if she could tell us the James Vanderbeek story and then we could talk to James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, you could call him for us, right? It'll be fun. All I would be like is, remember when you were Dawson? That's
yes.
Pretty much all I got. I'll leave the rest to you, Rebecca.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay, we got our double D's, baby. And it's a listener story. Hi, ladies. Obviously, I love your show. My best friend introduced me to the show, and I binged the show like crazy the last couple of months. Ontario is like my second home. I grew up in Buffalo.
What up, Buffalo? Hey, fun fact. At Christmas, do you ever listen to the Buffalo Christmas station?
Yes, it's on in my car. Yep.
Star 102.5. And listen. See, the problem I have, though, is it doesn't start up until after American Thanksgiving. Is it on yet?
No, it started before.
Really? I thought it wasn't on
yet. I've had it on for 2 weeks.
No, we checked. We checked a couple weeks ago and it wasn't on. So I must have just missed the start.
Yes.
Okay, well, it's my favorite is the local commercials they do, like, you know, Tonawanda Ford. Tops Friendly Market.
Yes.
Tops never stops. Right?
I want a Tops. Tops, I wish we had a Tops.
Saving you more. Saving you more. That's right. It's always like a Tonawanda Chenaga way.
Yeah.
On Route 402. Da 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 da. And then I love the weather reports because it's like 75 people have, you know, run into each other on a snowy highway and we're having a blizzard. And I'm like, this is so Christmassy. It's awesome.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. It's amazing.
I take so much joy in other people's car crashes, apparently. No, but what up, Buffalo, I guess is what I'm trying to say here.
I'm writing because my dating life is definitely laughable, or at least I like to laugh at it. A little context for one of my favorite and unfortunate dating stories. I decided to move to Florida for a couple years to work at Disney while I was in college. That's amazing.
I feel like there's a lot of Florida in this episode. You've mentioned Florida two or three times.
Okay, that's totally by accident.
Okay, okay.
I was single and ready to mingle, as the kids say. I love that. I met this guy on Tinder. You already know this was a bad decision. And he was working at Disney as well. We hit it off and everything seemed to be going well, or so I thought. I would spend time at his apartment with his roommates all the time, and we would go on dates in the park. It felt like it was getting serious, and I was excited to see where it would go. Well, it was New Year's Eve, and I just got out of work and was planning on spending it with my work friends because he was still working. At midnight, he sent me a snap on Snapchat saying he wanted to Netflix and chill. But I was with my friends and drinking, so I couldn't drive over. He didn't reply to the snap I sent, so I went back to the party. After the party, I walked home and went to snap him goodnight, and he had blocked me.
Oh.
I was still drunk and tired, so I went to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I was still blocked and completely upset. Like, what did I do? Well, little did I know that he was dating someone else at the same time. I bet you are thinking, well, I hope you are thinking, how did I find this out? Well, my roommate at the time was talking about a girl on her Facebook getting engaged. As someone that loves seeing engagement stories, I asked her to show me the pictures. As she opened the pictures, I saw his face.
Oh,
apparently,
no.
He got engaged to this girl on New Year's Day. I want to say this is the first time that something like this has happened to me, but I would be lying. I hope this gives you a laugh, even if you don't put it on the show. Thank you for always getting me to laugh out loud while I'm at work. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So I want to know, he was engaged. Like, was he engaged when he was seeing her?
Yeah.
Did he get engaged?
Oh, no. He got engaged on New Year's. And then
when was New Year's?
That night, she was at a New Year's party. He got engaged during that day, and he asked her to come over that night for a booty call.
It was New Year's Eve. Oh, my God. That's what I just was trying to put together in my head. Oh, no.
Yes.
What a douchebag.
Never mind. Ugh. I like that she said, I want to say this was the first time that something like this happened to me, but I would be lying. I need more. Because I need to know, listen, how many times this has happened to you.
That's like holding a sausage up in front of a Rottweiler.
Yes.
Do that to Rebecca. It's not nice.
Give me more.
You need to give her more deets.
Can you imagine? That's like,
no.
You know, you hear those stories of women who, like, they're married. Someone's married and then they see a photo online or whatever and their spouse is in the picture with someone else. And it's just like, what? Oh.
Such a mind fuck. I can't even.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. That was fabulous.
My favorite part about the holidays is reconnecting with family. I love swapping stories and reliving moments together, but keeping these memories alive can be hard. That's why I'm giving my family the most meaningful gift this year, StoryWorth. StoryWorth is so cool. I have set up my mom on it. She's actually going to be answering all these really, really unique questions that I don't think I would have ever thought to ask her myself. StoryWorth is an online service that helps your loved ones tell the story of their lives through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts. Every week, StoryWorth emails your family member different story prompts, questions you've never thought to ask, like what have been some of your life's greatest surprises and what's one of the riskiest things you've ever done. After 1 year, StoryWorth will compile every answered question and photo you choose to include into a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped for free. You never know what family history StoryWorth will uncover. For example, the other day I learned that my mom asked Willie Nelson to dance at a bar. And he said yes. Yep, that actually happened. So my mom is awesome. Preserve and pass on memories with StoryWorth, the most meaningful gift for your family. Sign up today by going to StoryWorth.com/secretlife. You'll get $20 off your first purchase. That's StoryWorth.com/secretlife for $20 off.
I am full out. Speaking of Christmas carols and all of that, we got our Christmas tree today. I am full out. Full out Christmas mode now.
Awesome.
Jill said something to me the other day that had me just shaking my head. I was like, seriously, child? So I said to Jill, okay, we're going to go get our Christmas tree soon. And she says, I want to put it in a new place this year. So Jill's all about control. She's five. She really likes to be in control of things. She's also very much like her mother.
Yes.
Which is me. Anyway, so she's like, I want to put the Christmas tree somewhere else. And I said, well, we can't, honey. Like, we always put it in the same front part of our house because it's in front of the window.
Yeah.
And she goes, what about the other people who have Christmas trees in their windows? Like, what if they don't want us looking at their trees? And I said, well, no, that's why people put their Christmas trees typically in their front windows so other people can look at it. She goes, I don't want people looking at my tree. She goes, I want a private Christmas tree.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
I said, you want a private Christmas tree. So we call her high maintenance for obvious reasons, this child. But yeah, it was fun. We went out to a Christmas tree farm and got the Christmas tree. I almost broke this year. This year I was like, I think we should just get a fake tree. I said to Justin, and I had been getting real ones my whole life. I fought the fight like she did today with me.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, to my mom. My mom will laugh her ass off when she hears this. And this year I finally went, the mess is crazy. The last 2 years it has done nothing but fall down on me.
Yeah.
Water goes everywhere, all over the carpet.
Yeah.
You have to get rid of it after. It's costing. We're buying $70, $80 real trees. It's fucking expensive. Like, it's a lot. And Jill's been driving us nuts. Liam didn't really want to go. Jill did. And Justin kind of didn't. So I was like, oh, maybe we just go buy a fake one.
Yeah.
She fought tooth and nail to get a real one. And Justin's like, I'm proud of her. And I said, it's just the irony of it, because I did the exact same thing when I was her age.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
I do both. My fake one's up already, but I got to get my real one still. But yeah. Yeah, we do both.
How come you do both?
I put the fake one in the front of my house, so in the window. And then, like, we're huge on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we don't hang out in that room. So the second one goes in my family room where we can look at it every day.
Wait, so that's the private Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
So, I mean, I need to talk to Jill and let her know that I have a private Christmas tree because I have two.
There you go. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
That would be her answer. No, because then she'll come home and be like, Mom, Rebecca has two.
Yes.
We need two.
Yeah.
Actually, she walks over at the farm. Eh? She goes up to this little tiny Christmas tree that's no taller than her. And she goes, we should buy this one.
Yeah.
And I joked. I said, oh, you can have that for your room. And Justin shot me daggers. And he goes, shut up. Because, you know, she's going to ask for that.
Yeah.
And he is like melts with her. Like, he will buy her anything if she asks him. Like, not really, but kind of. Like, if she wanted anything that badly, I guarantee you she could probably get it from him.
Yeah.
I said to her, I'll tell you what, remember that little tree I had in my studio, the miniature tree? I said, why don't we put that up, the fake one? Why don't we put that in your room? And she was like, yeah.
Oh,
so she's
going to
get a little personal private Christmas tree in her room.
Yeah.
Which will be nice.
My kids still have their own in their room.
Do they?
They're just like little mini ones. Like
still
really
cute.
Small. It goes on like their desk or whatever. But yeah. And they, every year they decorate it. And I have teenagers, but they do it every year. They put up
That's
their tree
so nice.
In their room. Yep.
See, I'm just glad to hear that they've continued the traditions because, I don't know, I just don't want Liam to outgrow. I feel like he's going to get cynical first.
I think if you're, okay, so I'm a huge Christmas nut. Like, it's from the moment I wake up in the morning, starting in second week of November to after Christmas, there's Christmas music playing in my house. Like,
yep.
That my kids wake up to Christmas music. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I'm just a Christmas nut. We watch Christmas movies all the time, nonstop. We do everything Christmas. Everything's Christmas. Yeah. Cookie bake, everything. And
love it.
They've never said, I don't want to. Like they're just
so nice.
Used to it, right? Like they're just, they enjoy it. So I think if you keep doing it, I think they carry it on and I'm glad they will. So
that's nice. Family traditions, man.
Yep. Yep.
Family traditions. No, that's super awesome. I love it. So,
yeah.
Thank you for hanging out with us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. And Rebecca.
Anything can happen at weddings.
And we will be here to tell you all about it.
Well, that's it for us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. If you need more drama in your life, go over to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to sign up for additional weekly episodes. The first few episodes are free, so go check it out, patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings, and we will see you here next week.